If you're looking for a church that preaches the Bible today and demonstrates the love of the family of God, we do invite you to the Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, the preaching pastor here at the Escondido URC. Our worship service times on Sundays are 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. Visit us on the web at escondidourc.org. Here is our program, Abounding Grace.
Choosing this day whom we will serve. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Our study of the seven churches has been at times shocking, hasn't it? It's nothing like we're used to. Jesus is the head of his church. He's the king. And have you noticed in our study, as I've already alluded to, how direct, how confrontive, how exposing, how combative he is in warning all of his churches? All of this comes with a whole lot of name calling, doesn't it? I mean, it's strong name calling. We're not used to that about Jesus, are we? We don't think of Jesus like that. It's difficult for us to process that about him. But here he is, raised in his glory and resurrected and given a message by inspiration of the Spirit to his church. Should we really expect anything different? I mean, that's my question this morning as we begin. Should we really expect anything softer than this? Why did he establish the church? Why do we have a church today? Do we even really understand that? That's been the crucial question of this whole study. That's what we've been mining and considering about. The value of what we do today, really in our culture and in our time as a church, has been lost. It is not valued. I hinted at that when we received new members this morning. We don't appreciate his body, the church, like we should. And I'm not talking about a building. You know that. It's really today a take it or leave it kind of thing. We think we can get by without it. And our service in the church today is something that often comes as an addendum to our already busy lives. Everyone I talk to is always busy. Everyone's busy, you know. Everyone's just so busy. If we're honest this morning, the church really does get kind of second rate in our lives, probably third. Most feeling they don't need it, period. If this happens, you understand why the Lord would be a little agitated? You think that would bother him? You know, he dies for us and gives us a place in the kingdom to serve and to worship and to be excited, you know. Look at what's been exposed in our study of the seven churches. Ephesus. I mean, this is our grand summary this morning. Ephesus left their first love, forgot their whole missionary purpose, and became a closed box, only speaking to themselves. That's bad. I'm going to pull the lamp plug on that, said Jesus. Remember what happened with Smyrna. Not a message we really like, but in taking a stand against the culture and a stand against things that are wrong and a stand in confronting things that are going on, you're going to lose things. And they were persecuted for that. And so we were confronted with the whole truth that through much tribulation, if we're going to be Christians and counting the cost the way that we should, we enter the kingdom that way. Pergamum and Thyatira, oh. Those guys, those churches were letting all sorts of bad doctrine in. They were letting all sorts of bad teaching in. Bad prophets and bad practices and bad living. And you ever thought about what that does to the message? What do you need to be safe from if you tolerate sin? What is the message of gospel if everything goes? You know, it's lost. You've lost your purpose. Sardis was dead. No life. The encouragement came last time with the few weeks back with the Church of Philadelphia. Remember? They were a very faithful church. They were ministering in their setting, and they were understanding where they were. They were ministering the gospel. And the Lord had to encourage that church in opening a door wide open in the community for them to go through it, because there were a lot of things saying, well, it's not the time. There's too many obstacles. Is it really wise at this time to be doing that? To give that kind of energy and that kind of drive and that kind of focus to that? We got to reserve. And the Lord was saying, you go through the door. You do it. I've opened it. And we're challenged. Look around. Look at the doors open. Well, this morning, we come to the final church, and it's the worst of them all. And are you seeing the great struggle that really weaved through all of these churches? It's the struggle of fulfilling the missionary calling of the church, the Great Commission. It's the struggle of fulfilling our witness. That's why we're here. That's why we exist. That's why we gather. And Satan has a whole bunch of ways to attack that, and that's what we've seen. And so, in one way or another, all of that has been attacked through doctrine, through closed-minded approaches, just legalism. You got all the gamut right here. Well, this morning we come to the last one, and the Lord has a lot to say to this one. This is a very shocking one. And I guess I begin with something that I heard that was said not too long ago, and I thought it was a good approach to considering this church. Indifference to religion is the first step to apostasy from religion. Indifference, carelessness, self-complacency is the most dangerous place a church could be in, and that's the issue with the church of Laodicea. They were indifferent. But oh, they were a thriving church. They were thriving on their own physical resources. They were thriving on how much they had, and yet they were without Christ. I mean, it's really a shocking thing that went on here. And of everything that we've studied so far in the seven churches, I think what has come out to me, and I realize that you can't really categorize this, but I sure see a great passion by our Lord of hatred for lukewarmness. That just really strikes me here. He hates lukewarmness. Just a careless, half-hearted commitment to being part of his body. He hates it. Hates it. So I want us to ask the question this morning. As it starts with, remember what Corinthians said, every member does its share, completing the whole as a church. God fits us together and makes us a part of his body, as what's demonstrated here. You can't approach this without asking, where are we? I'm not saying I have the answer to that. I'm not saying I'm reading that. I'm saying, are we cold? Are we lukewarm? Are we hot? You got to ask that. You can't read this without asking that as a church. So we'll come back to that at the end after we consider what was going on here. About 40 miles southeast of Philadelphia, there were three very well-known cities. To the north of the Great River was a city called Hierapolis. To the south of the river was Colossae. Remember the Colossian church? And then you had the church of Laodicea. Laodicea is an interesting city to study. We'll be unpacking a little bit of what was going on there. But initially, what the problem this city faced, and this was a planning problem for the planning people of the city, was that this church had a bad water supply. And this city. And so they had developed an elaborate pipe system. It was really a state-of-the-art pipe system that was tapping into the hot springs of Hierapolis. But the problem was twofold. The Hierapolis hot springs were cooling over time. So what was happening is, as this water was traveling in the pipe system, when it finally got to the city of Laodicea, it was an awful stench of lukewarmness, and it was lukewarm. It was not a pleasant thing. Anyone who took a drink of that immediately wanted to vomit it out of their mouth. In the city that I was next door to where I grew up, they had a sulfur problem, and their water always smelled like egg. It was awful. And you went to 7-Eleven as a kid and got a Coke, you had to spit it out because it was just sulfur. And I'm envisioning a lukewarm soda that smelled like egg. Imagine that. So here we are. Anyone who drank this water was done with it. The temperature made it repulsive. So Jesus takes this phenomenon and he applies it to what he thinks about the church, which is really shocking, isn't it? He begins in verse 14. To the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." What an opening, isn't it? Jesus starts off by calling himself the faithful and the true witness. Now, why does he have to say that to this church? Why does he have to rehearse that with this church? Well, because what he is about to say is so hard-hitting, so combative, so stern that he knows people aren't going to want to accept it. And he is saying out of the gates, it doesn't matter what you think. I'm the witness to these things. I'm the one who sees things. A lot of people don't like any kind of criticism of the church today. They can't take it. Jesus says, you better listen to the king of the church because I have the last word. What I say is amen. So let it be. Pretty powerful opening, isn't it? The beginning of the creation of God. He's talking about the new creation and the power of the resurrection. I determine where life is. I see it. I testify to what's going on in the hearts of your churches. So it's really a statement of listen up. So then we come to verse 15. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Not something that you would preach at a crusade, would you? Stern letter. Stern. What is going on in Laodicea? I mean, that's the question. You know, again, I have to pause and say, you know, I don't read of any doctrinal error here. I don't read of persecution. That's just not even on the radar. I don't read of evil practices. Jesus says plainly, the charge is, you are lukewarm. Just like those waters that are being piped into Hierapolis that you know. You even have an experience of this that you taste and you spit out because it's repulsive. That is how I feel about your church. So Jesus is really disturbed here about half-hearted, lukewarm, sluggish, weak devotion to him. The heart's not in it. It's not there. You know? It's not sincere. It's not wholehearted. They're just there. And because of this, what do you think that affected? We're going to look at that. It affected their witness. Half-hearted ministry, half-hearted churches, not a wholehearted approach to the church. Do you realize that that produces the most insincere ministry possible? Because going through the motions is not done out of a fervent desire nor an understanding in the mind of the great privilege you have been privileged with to be a part of the body that Christ has given and raised up in his resurrection power. And what a church for us to consider today. What a thing to think about today. What a message for us today. One pastor said, this church describes vividly the respectable, nominal, rather sentimental, skin-deep religiosity which is so widespread among our Christianity today. Flabby and anemic. It's exactly the kind of church that is a mile wide and an inch deep. What he is describing here is a group of people who are not really committed. They're just floating. They're just there, probably on occasion. And what produces that? I mean, that's the question. What produces uncommitted, half-hearted people? I suggest it's one thing. I suggest that it's a lack of being steadily challenged with the depths of God's word, but also a lack of the people to give themselves to hearing that word. You know, I was talking with somebody recently, and they were describing the struggle they were having with their church and their pastor. And, it's an uncomfortable discussion for me. I don't like to have it. I never really know what to say because, they're talking to another pastor. But what did strike me is that over and over and over, I'm hearing the same thing today. I'm hearing it repeatedly that the people say, we're just not getting anything. There's no depth to it. There's no challenge to it. There's no exposition. There's no meat. We're starving. And if that is indeed true of what is going on in the church, you need to understand that is not an ability issue by the pastor. That is a choice. He has accommodated the ministry to what he thinks the people's wants are. And they don't even necessarily know what they need. And Jesus has sent us, I've always said, we're a postman. We're sent with a pre-given packaged message that we don't have the prerogative of tampering with. We just deliver. So this is exactly right. The sad thing about that is that most Christians today are fully accepting of that. They know it goes on. And what do? They sit in it. They tolerate it. It's easy. It's mindless. It doesn't require anything. It doesn't push you. It doesn't challenge you. And you can just remain comfortable. You can just remain at ease. You can just go with the status quo, all the while thinking in your mind that you're doing a good thing and being a part of the church. So what we've seen today is a whole approach to Christianity that is, think about what's happened in that environment. If you have a Christianity that requires anything today, if you have a Christianity that requires honoring anything, any conviction, counting the cost, what's it labeled as? Legalistic. That is the cop out. That is the attack. Everything's legalistic. All we want is just to have a casual ride right on through and sit there and not have to give very much. That's our church day. And the reality is that this is having two devastating effects today in the United States. Devastating effects. What do you think those effects are? The devastating effect is it kills a hunger for the Word of God in people. It's gone. There is no hunger for the Word. They're not there for the Word. And what happens when that's gone? You have no witness to the world. You have absolutely no witness to the world. You are a social club. You are like the Lions Club. So Jesus is saying here, I could wish that you are either cold or hot. I've always said to myself, I want people and I want everyone to be hot. But if people want to leave the Linden URC, I want it always said, it's never because they're not getting the pure preaching of the Word of God. That's my only prayer. If somebody wants to leave, you can't say that. And that what's happened is they've been so confronted with the Word of God that it's been so plainly and directly set before them. It's challenged them so personally in the heart that it's convicted them so greatly of their sin, their need for Christ, His grace, His gospel, and it's going to require some real repentance, some real turning, some real change, that they can't remain lukewarm as they sit here. They either got to get hot or get out. That's what the preaching should be doing. That no one in this building should ever be satisfied with just being a seat warmer. Yeah, they are either coming more to Christ daily, that they are being pushed to Christ, strengthened in the gospel, becoming fervent in desire, or they are going in the opposite direction. And that, beloved, is just what the Bible teaches is happening or should be happening in the ministry of the church today a lot more than it is. And that's what Jesus is saying. I could wish. You're either cold, which isn't a good thing, or you're hot. But because you're not either of these as a church, you're just like those waters piped in from Hierapolis. And you know, when I taste that, I want to vomit that out of my mouth. Whoa. How do you preach that? You know, how do you lay the full weight of that statement to a church? I want your ministry taking the people in one of two directions. The ministry should be cutting two ways. Remember, the word cuts two ways. My word won't return void. That was in the context of rejection, remember? It's going one way or the other. And remember the ministry to Corinth. He said, he had to explain this to Corinth. We are either the fragrance of Christ to those who are what? Being saved. Or we are the fragrance of the stench of death to those who aren't being saved. They are going to hate you. They are going to despise the ministry if they're not saved. I want it to be cold or I want it to be hot. You know, I just sit back from that and I think, I hope no one here is just hearing it and is complacent. You know? Then maybe it means I'm not doing my job the way I should be. That I'm actually in the preaching, and I don't like this. I didn't sign up for it. I didn't want this. I signed up for it, but I didn't want it. But that I'm actually driving people away who are lukewarm if they're not going to become hot. I didn't say this. The alternative, I mean, think about the alternative. The alternative is to have a ministry that doesn't produce any of that and just allows people to sit there and they're complacent and they're never confronted, they're never challenged, they're never moved to be missionary minded, they're never pushed out of any kind of comfort zone, they get their seat in church every Sunday and that's it. See what he's after? Let me put this positively, because that's the negative side. Let me put it in a positive front here. What does the Lord want from you this morning? He wants wholeheartedness, doesn't he? We tend to think that the church is about us and our comforts. Jesus says, I've got something far different in mind. When he says, I could wish that you are either cold or hot, what he's saying is, I want it to be really clear in your ministries that it's having an effect on the heart of the people. The challenge to the church is what this morning? Think about it. The challenge to the church, and this is beautiful because he does give it positively in the call to repentance when he says, be zealous. The challenge to the church is what? Respond with fervent zeal to the gospel. As we confront, the goal is forgiveness. The goal is not condemnation. The goal of this pulpit is never, ultimately, to just condemn, but to bring about what? Knowing the terror of God, what does Paul say? We persuade men. We want people to repent. We want people to believe. We want people to trust Christ. Let me put it in conventional terms today. I know this is goofy, but I want to say it, because I believe it can be rightly understood. We need to be on fire for Jesus. I know that sounds silly, but it's true, isn't it? There should be a passion in us. There should be a fervor in us. I love what Titus describes. He gave himself for us that he might... Why did Jesus die, you know? He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, that's the church, zealous for good works. Now that word zealous is a very interesting word. It's the same word that Jesus uses here. You know what it means? Burning with zeal. I want the church burning. One pastor said, look at your churches and mark their feebleness. Slow progress of understanding the gospel. The low lives of the bulk of professing Christians, and answer the question, is the operation of the divine spirit, the Holy Spirit, that comes to transform and quicken everything into its own vivid flaming fire, is it there? Or is the operation of our own selfishness and worldliness crushing down and hemming in the power that ought to sway up? Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program. We do humbly ask both for your prayerful and financial support. You can go to our website at agradio.org to learn more about who we are and what we believe. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel continue to richly bless you. If you're looking for a church with biblical worship, Christ-centered preaching, and the love of the family of God, we invite you to the Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. You can visit us on the web at escondidourc.org. Our worship service times on Sundays are at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. Here is our program, Abounding Grace.